Blog Talk Radio.
And we are here with the Pounce. I apologize for the technical difficulties. It's been kind of a weird weather day here in Atlanta, but we are live on Blog Talk Radio right now for the Pounce, your weekly Jaguars news and update show. I am your host, Jeremy York from Endzone, here today at the Mellow Mushroom in Hiram. Be sure to drop by your local Mellow Mushroom for incredible salads, pizza, sandwiches, and drink specials. It's spring break up here right now, so they got a lot of different specials you can check out. But you can go to themellowmushroom.com to find the location near you. I'm pretty sure there's at least two or three in the Jacksonville area. Make sure to drop by and see them. They are very cool. But today on the Pounce, we discussed the many visitors the Jags have hosted in the last week. We also hit on the new awesome improvements to Everbank Field. But first, I do want to start with the recently released preseason schedule. And if you haven't seen it yet, the Jaguars have their four preseason games that were outlined to them. They will play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first one. They will play the Chicago Bears in the second one. That's actually an ESPN game. That should be fun to watch. It's always good to be featured on ESPN. You get a national audience at that point. The Detroit Lions will be their third one, and the Atlanta Falcons will be how they finish up their preseason schedule. All NFC teams, a couple road games against the NFC North. That'll be kind of interesting. But, you know, it is what it is, and it will be a real good test for the good young team we have and some of the guys that we bring in, you know, after this. They're going to open up, like I said, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, first preseason game, you try to get your feet wet a little bit. You try to, you know, for the most part, you're really trying to get a feel for it's about repetitions and overall snaps for people. You know, if Chad Henne's the guy going forward, which I believe he is at quarterback, then you want to make sure that he has, you know, at least a couple decent drives or a couple chances at drives early on in the game, and then you'll go with your backup from there. And for other things, you know, now that Maurice Jones-Drew is out of town, we're going to be testing Toby Gerhart. We're going to be testing a lot of other guys that are still around. And the defense is still coming together, so we're going to have to test a lot of things there, try some schemes and everything. And these are four teams that are very similar but very different from each other. Tampa Bay is still trying to figure things out themselves, so they're kind of in a similar boat with Jacksonville. But they always have a tough defense. That's how they won their championship years ago when John Gruden coached them. Tony Dungy had helped set it up. Gruden, I believe, put the icing on the cake so they could take that one. But playing against the NFC North, the Bears and the Lions are both going to very much bring it, and they're going to hit hard. Matthew Stafford's going to always try to sling it to Calvin Johnson. It's going to be rough there. And remember, the Bears did pick up Jared Allen earlier this year, so that's going to help their pass rush a lot. It's going to really give us a test to see if the offensive line can hold. The game I'm most looking forward to, though, is with the Atlanta Falcons in the fourth preseason game. I believe that's late August. I don't have the date in front of me. I would imagine 22nd, 24th, something like that, I believe. The reason I'm looking forward to that is, you know, not only because I live near Atlanta and am familiar with the Falcons and how they run things, but to me, this is the ultimate test to see where these two teams are going to be. You got the Falcons, who were a top team for 5 years straight and then had an off year last year where, you know, they didn't fix some of the glaring holes in the boat. So, you know, you can only bail water so long. Now they've addressed a lot of those, so we're going to see if they can bounce back. And at the same time, you have the Jaguars, who have been trying to rebuild this thing. This is year two now of the Gus Bradley regime. We're going to see how well, you know, and Caldwell as well, we're going to see how well year two improves on year one. I honestly have, you know, at this particular juncture, and this before the draft, before any finalizations or cuts or signs, you know, I think it's realistic to say that the Jaguars projections have them somewhere between 8-8 and possibly 10-6 this year, which would probably be a wild card because the Colts, I believe, could win 11 or so and take the division. But, you know, All it takes is a chance to get in the playoffs, and then you can win them. Like I said, that's going to be the game. All four of them are really good games, and you have a good shot of really seeing a lot of different schemes showcased. But my personal pick, I'm going to really be zeroing in on that Falcons matchup because, like I said, it's going to be the true test where these two teams are and if they've improved since last year or if, you know, there's still some questions to be answered. But I did mention that I want to talk about the improvements to the field and anybody in Jacksonville, in case a lot of you guys haven't had a chance to come to Jacksonville. I believe these TVs that Shad Khan, the owner, has put in, I believe that they can watch them from the space station. These things are massive. And, you know, growing up around the Atlanta area, we've had this big thing at Turner Field for the Braves that used to be the biggest outdoor TV, I think, ever. And then all of a sudden now there's two of these things that go from end zone, corner of the end zone to corner of the end zone. Basically, if you're looking at the end zone, you go straight up from corner to corner there is going to be one of these big screens. These things are awesome. And right underneath these, there's these new pavilions with some swimming pools and kind of an open deck type thing where it encourages people to kind of hang out and let loose, and it gives a different atmosphere for these. I believe these are great improvements. These aren't just to sell tickets or something. These are to enhance your overall experience at the game. I do think there's a few more things that they could do and a few more things that they may do, but, you know, time will tell on those. And I believe Mr. Khan's doing the right things as far as updating the facilities. You know, even a 10-year-old stadium needs to update certain facilities and allow, you know, sometimes it's Wi-Fi capabilities. I believe Jackson already has that. But there's a lot of things that you can always improve on and clean up and you know, make pretty good overall. Before we start the subject today, I do want to let you know that you can call in. The guest call-in number for the show is 347-826-7448. That's 347-826-7448. You don't even have to talk about any of the things I've talked about. If you have any Jaguar-related question, by all means, I'd love to talk to you about it. But while we're giving you guys a shot to call in, we'll look at Twitter and Facebook real quick, see some of the comments and suggestions and questions you guys may have had. The more was all people in town. This is from Facebook recently. Which one of these are going to be actually drafted? And which is a great question. You know, you look at some of these guys that have been in town recently, and Sammy Watkins, Portals, McCarron, Kyle. Between me and if you listen to analysts on Impact Media, you hear that my co-host Mr. Hill believes that Jadeveon Clowney will probably be the number one pick overall, but it probably will not be by the Houston Texans. They are very much shopping pick around as much as the St. Louis Rams are. Insane. A lot of people try and move around. There's things like that. I'm not sure who would move up. A lot of people could use Clowney. A lot of people could use quarterbacks. If it were me, you know, well, let me go over the list of people that's been in town. You know, I said them before. There's the obvious, the quarterbacks. There's the popular supposed first rounder, Blake Bortles, from UCF, sorry. Derek Carr, the quarterback from Fresno State, Johnny Football from Texas A&M, and Teddy Bridgewater from Louisville. Now, all four of these are considered first round picks, and maybe AJ McCarron, now that he's got his one episode or 12 episode, whatever report is actually correct. you know, thanks to his fiance Catherine Webb, based off the reality show, you know, maybe he could jump up into the first round. But, you know, I see the AJ McCarrons, the Zach Mettenbergers, he may could sneak in from LSU, the Aaron Murrays from UGA. You know, those kind of guys are probably second or third rounders, which should actually help the Jaguars because, to me, they're the stronger quarterbacks. We look at the mechanics of A.J. McCarron, and this is, you know, just a name off the top of my head. I see a young Tom Brady-like, and I'm not saying that he could blow up and be arguably one of the best ever, but I'm not saying he couldn't be either. I mean, when you look at the mechanics and that he's tall, you know, slender build, very smart, first one in, last one out type deal, as far as being at the stadium and doing his homework and due diligence, he really could be, you know, the pick, A.J. McCarron. But Aaron Murray, obviously, he's Florida. I believe he grew up in Florida, right outside the Tampa area. Yeah, he's a little smaller, but he's accurate. He's got a strong arm. He's smart in the field. He's good at making plays when he needs to. You know, to me, I think the Jaguars should not get a quarterback in the first round and go after one, you know, a Berger, a McCarron, a Murray, one of those guys in the second or third round, because they're also going to have a great pick there. As far as the other players that were in, you got Sammy Watkins, the wide receiver out of Clemson. I think he would be a great number three pick. It gives you a prolific number one type receiver. And not saying we don't have number one receivers, but if you have Ace Sanders on one side and you put Sammy Watkins on the other, those are two big, fast bodies that you're going to have cover. And even if you cover them, they're going to be able to catch the ball. No matter who's the quarterback, it's going to make it a lot, your job a lot easier having those guys. Like I said, they've also had Kyle Van Noy in, the linebacker out of BYU. You haven't heard a whole lot about Kyle Van Noy, but, you know, he has the potential to be first, second round easy. I mean, he was very dynamic for Brigham Young. He's one of those kind of impact players, you know. Not real sure, you know, about his statistics or something like that, then, you know, you can easily look those up. But for them to, I think you get 30 visits, player visits that you can get a year, and for them to use one of them on Van Noy, that should speak volumes to, they're looking at possibly bringing this guy in. I would say maybe their second or third round pick could be Van Noy, even if he's still there. There's a chance they would go linebacker and put him next to Paz and everybody else. I think you'd fit great with Paz. You put him on the, you put Van Noy on the outside and Paz on the inside, and you're almost creating a Ram-like defense where the St. Louis Rams have built such a young defense. Jacksonville's right on their heels with that. You know, clearly, Jadeveon Clowney, the defensive end, prolific pass rusher. You know, he had that big hit against Michigan a couple years ago. He plays really hard. His pro day, it didn't seem like there was any quit in him, like a lot of people thought. His work ethic may not be there, you know, based off this year. But I think he was saving himself, because not that I encourage people to do that, but, you know, Clowney's one of those guys that he knew he would be number one or a potential top five pick at least. And if he were to get hurt or to push himself too much, if Spurrier's okay with it, then I guess it was okay. But yeah, I think Clowney's going to be out of our reach because he's going to go one or two, no matter if St. Louis or Houston keep that pick. And, you know, there's the Greg Robinsons that was also in town, the offensive lineman from Auburn. Just to put this in perspective, because I've talked to a lot about this, he is an offensive guard. He is not an offensive tackle. You know, Atlanta had the example last year where Larry, I believe is his first name, Larry Holmes, he's an offensive guard. They tried to plug him in at left tackle, and he had a couple issues, guard animals. And if you ever play a position coming from guard, it may be a learning curve. But I got a little tackle last year. He's going to come back from his injury. I think he's going to be great. It's going to work out pretty well. overall number three pick, I think Sammy Watkins is the guy. And a lot of mock drafts lately have started to do that. I feel like draft that I feel go after a quarterback in the third. You know, he slips that far down. Maybe A.J. McCarron's still sitting there. You know, there's a handful of really good players that are going to be sitting in the second round, especially quarterbacks. Clearly, wide receiver and quarterback are not really needed. We need a little bit of time depth, though. We need more for great athletic depth than we do star players. And, you know, maybe we can trade that. So we consider we need more players than we do stars, and that's something that's it's hard to explain, I guess, better than I did there. But 7-8-2-6-4-8. Call in, talk Jaguars. We'd be happy to listen to your question, try to address it the best we can. 347-826-7448. Got a few more minutes left today before we'll be out of here. Before we get out of here, we do want to thank the Melsterman Hiram for allowing us to come in and hang out and talk some Jaguars, because there are a lot of Jaguar fans up here in Atlanta. And, you know, thanks to people like the Teal Street Hooligans and the Bolts Brigade out of Jacksonville, I was able to meet up with both super fan groups last time I was down. Had a great time. Look forward to seeing you guys again, and maybe get you guys on some week to tell everybody about all the stuff you guys do, because you guys do an amazing job of spreading the reach of Jacksonville in general and the Duval County and everything. And even if you're not, you know, if you're just now coming to the Jaguars, it's, you know, don't feel like you're bandwagoning or anything like that. And it's not just because of how successful they've been lately or anything like that. So if you want to come be a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, Duval County and the Jaguars will happily welcome you. It's the crest of the wave right now, as I spoke of last year. It's the perfect time to get on board, because these guys are going to, you know, unforeseen places. They're building everything the right way. This is year two of the regime. There's a lot of things they're doing right, and not a whole lot they're doing wrong. You know, if you get a chance, check out some of the interviews they did with some of the guys that were in town. Jadeveon Clowney's is up as of a couple minutes ago. Sammy Watkins, A.J. McCarron, any of those guys, Blake Bortles, all those guys that I mentioned, you can see their interviews on there. You know, see what you think. If they seem like Jacksonville-type guys, I know a couple of them have made some pretty cool comments. Based off the things they did there, Sammy Watkins was quoted as saying, "You know, this is probably one of the best coaching staffs he's visited this, you know, before the draft." I mean, that's a pretty good leg up coming from Sammy Watkins, who had great coaching at Clemson. I was able to see him early last season. He's just one of those. A lot of times people didn't see Sammy Watkins coming because Taj Boyd sometimes would cover up other people on the field. And that's no knock on Taj Boyd, because he's another one that'll be there second, third, maybe fourth round even. But, you know, with Boyd play, a lot of times Watkins would get covered up as far as having a great day, because Boyd would be the quarterback. You know, Blake Bortles is another one that he said being able to talk to all the coaches, he got tired about not only playing football or possibly being a Jaguar, you know. This is a potential, and he's excited to possibly be a part of Jacksonville. Your car being coached by Bradley and the staff at the Senior Bowl. So familiarity. They know what they want to do with there. We had Jaguar people up at L.A. Burger. He's got the strongest arm of all the quarterbacks in the entire draft. So wherever he goes, somebody's getting a slinger. Think Matt Stafford, Brett Favre, as far as not afraid to sling the ball from any angle, and he'll be accurate. Just throw it. Some of the things Johnny Manziel said, it was great to be around Coach Bradley, Coach Fitch, Caldwell, seeing a guy like Luke Jockel, you know, they've got history and everything, and, you know, they're good buddies. Greg Robinson said, you know, the Jaguars, it's a nice place, and the coaching staff really cares about the players. But it's not just the coaching staff, you know. He probably didn't get a chance to meet the great fan base that they have and everything. I mean, the list just goes on and on of every time these guys come in. They're not just saying it for the sake of saying it, because they could easily not say anything. You know, Teddy Bridgewater said his visit with the Jaguars was different from any of his other ones at the Pro Day or the Combine. You know, it felt different. It felt more comfortable in these kind of things. Well, but it is about time for us to get out of here. I do appreciate you guys listening in and chatting with us. Real quick, I like to recap everything in case you joined us late and you didn't get a chance to hear earlier. I finished up talking about how Watkins, Bortles, McCarron, Carr, Van Noy, Manziel, Robinson, Bridgewater, Clowney, those guys have been to Everbank Field and the Jaguars organization in the last week or so. Got to meet with the players, got to work out a little bit. We got to see what they're all about. I think if they'd have met the fan base, they'd all be sold on it, because I still feel like the Jacksonville fan base is one of the best in the league, possibly, you know, in general. Just when you first get there, it just feels like it gives you a big hug, and you just have the best time. And I know I look forward to getting back down there a couple of times this year. But we talked about the improvements to Everbank Field. That'd be the giant big screens and the new pools and pavilions right underneath them. There's no bad seat in Everbank Field already, but now there definitely isn't, because the big screen's going to show you everything they missed in case you couldn't exactly be close. Where they play Tampa Bay in the first week, they play the Bears in the second week. That's an ESPN game. The third week they go to the Lions. The Bears and the Lions are both away games, and they finish up at home against Atlanta in what I call should be one of the best matchups maybe of the preseason, as far as we're going to get a real good chance to see where these two teams are and where they could go this season. But I am Jeremy from Endzone, and we'll see you guys next week.